Amen.
Okay, so tonight our lesson is entitled Becoming an Overcomer of God. Mm. Woo! We like the sound of that, right?
Yes.
All right. And then the promise of our key scripture, which we have just found out is Pastor Joshua's new favorite scripture. And this is Revelation 21, verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Whoa, with a promise like that, oh, talk about exciting. My goodness, inherit all things, and God will be our God, and we'll be his sons. Not just his kids, his sons. That means mature.
Amen.
Sons of God.
Amen.
That means we'll be grown up and in place with our Abba Daddy.
Amen.
Wow. How exciting. Okay, so that's the goal. That's what we're shooting for. Remember, that's Revelation 21. So we have a little ways to go between now and then, but that is the goal. And we need to keep that in the forefront. But we got to remember, too, and think about what is an overcomer. Okay, let's think of the term. An overcomer is one who overcomes, one who comes over something, one who comes over obstacles, objects, challenges. Oh, yeah, the devil's got a lot of those that he wants to throw at us, right?
Yes.
And as we get in deeper and deeper into these last of the last days, things are getting very serious and more so by the minute. And so we need to be alert because overcomer is not a job description for anyone who is laissez-faire in their attitude, who is lazy, complacent, or I'm sad to say one who is lost in the grace teaching. Now, grace has its place, but so many times we hear now the grace teaching does not require you to do anything because Jesus has already done it all for you. And so now there's nothing for you to do but just sit back and receive all the benefits of God. I'm sorry to say, it's not quite that way. I always like to remind everybody, if we were in the Garden of Eden before the fall, or if we were in heaven, after all is said and done, and we have no enemy, then yes, that would be true, right? It would be instantaneous. But we do not live there. We're in between. We're kind of closer to the heaven end of it and to the eternity end of it, but we're still in this life on this earth. We're aliens. We're passing through. And that's good for us to remember, too, that we don't become too attached to the things down here. That's part of how we become overcomers. Okay, so another word for overcomer might be conqueror, victor,
yes.
Worker.
Yes.
Oops, did I say worker? Yes, worker. Why? Because it takes work, it takes time, it takes effort on our part to become an overcomer. And it's also something we can't do by ourselves. Try as we might, we cannot. We must partner with God and partner with the Holy Spirit who is on the inside of us. He wants to help us bring it into full manifestation. So we go hand in hand with him and say, okay, let's go. Now, this teaching is divided into three sections: anticipation, saturation, and maturation. So, anticipation by Webster is expectation, Okay? Foreknowledge, presentiment, how you feel beforehand and you're looking forward to. If this is the goal, it's something that's out ahead of us still. And if it's something that's out ahead of us still, you know, if we get pulled to this side or that side, we're losing sight of the goal that's out there. So we want to keep that in the forefront. We want to keep it in front of us. And I always like to say this, but it's true. If you have blinders on, you can't see to the right or the left, and whatever's going on over there or over here doesn't concern you. It doesn't involve you. It's the eye on the mark, Jesus Christ. In this case, our goal of becoming overcomers. This is very crucial. Okay, so our first section is the anticipation of this, and this is so exciting. Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And this is under part one where it says we have to see it in the Word of God. First we look in the Word of God, and then we have to see. And I'm thinking about seeing and reminded of a story that Jerry Savelle taught years ago when his girls were small. Because one of his daughters came up with this. Jerry said they were on the way home one night, and the girls were in the back seat, and one of his daughters piped up, "Daddy, you know we have three eyes?" That's all she said. And he's like, "Three eyes, Lord? What kind of monster are we talking about? One of those cartoon characters that I think Pixar has been flaunting lately? Weird little creatures with three eyes?" But he says, "Really, honey? Three eyes?" And she said, "Yeah, Daddy, we have these two eyes, and we have the eye of faith." And he goes, "Oh, that will preach." He goes, "I got to remember that." And because he preached it, now I'm preaching it. Because that we want to remember, we always want to hang on to and look through our eye of faith. Have the right perspective, have the right vision through our eyes of faith. Because when we look through our eyes of faith, guess what? We're looking with God's eyes. We're seeing what he sees when we look with our eye of faith. And you know what Jesus did for us? It's a done deal in the spiritual. But we have a part to play to bring it from the spiritual realm into our natural physical realm. In order to bring it to pass, we have to make it ours. We have to do something, and this is where our partnership with God begins. Okay, here's one of my favorite scriptures. Not the most, but up there close, is Joshua 1:8. As we meditate on the scripture day and night, what does this say? This book of the law, that's our Bibles, that's the Word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth. Mouth, okay? It's not saying, now, we want to keep it before our eyes, but as we keep it before our eyes, it has to come out of our mouths. It must be audible. When I read the Word of God, I always read it out loud. Now, I might whisper it, particularly if my husband's already asleep and I'm in bed reading the Word. But I will try that. And I say try that because when you get to the chapters where it does the begats, gets real interesting on the names. I'm not always sure how to pronounce it, but I always give it that old college try. So I speak it out loud. And when we speak to others the Word of God, in order to focus on the Word of God, in order to meditate it, in order to visualize it, in order to get it out there before us. Let me read the full scripture here in Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate And another word for meditate is often mutter. Like we mutter under our breaths. Anybody ever do that? I think we probably all have been guilty of it. Well, let's start muttering the word of God instead of muttering, complaining, or wondering, or whatever. We mutter the word of God. That's the best thing. And we do that. We meditate. We mutter day and night. Night and day. Do you get the idea that God wants nothing coming out of our mouths except the word of God?
Yeah.
He doesn't leave much opportunity for anything else, huh? That thou mayest observe to do, okay, hearken, hear, and do, according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have, it doesn't just say success, it says good success. And in the Amplified, it talks about dealing wisely and having good success. It's what we want, right? We need to be able to have the wisdom of God in all that we say and do. And my husband has a wonderful saying that I just love. He says, a thought that's unsaid is a thought that is dead. Because remember, our minds are the battleground, and the devil has the right to put thoughts into our minds. And so we get these thoughts and we have to analyze, is this from God or is this from the devil? And an easy way is always, well, God is close to good, good is close to God, and evil's close to the devil. And so you see, okay, is that thought a good thought? Is it a God thought or is it an evil thought? And then if it's an evil thought, we have the right to say, uh-uh, we're not going there. But if it's a good thought, then we want to speak it out. And then we want to act on it. This is the natural progression. And when we speak it and we act on it, we're putting it down into our hearts. And who knows this next scripture? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's full circle now. It's a complete work of the Word of God in our lives. Praise God. Okay, now we have to see it, not just in the word, but we need to see it in our minds. We need to visualize this. We want to become overcomers, right? In all things, in all situations. So I don't know if you do what I do or not, but I've always been one to kind of, I guess what they call daydream. You know, I kind of fantasize situations and sometimes they're real life situations where maybe I was hoping I would have acted a little differently. And so in my replay, I do it differently. And I'm strong in Jesus and I'm strong in the Word of God and I'm bold. And, you know, I'm always the victor, you know? So that's part of what we can do. It's okay to daydream a godly dream, to visualize yourself as an overcomer. Because part of how we're going to bring it to pass in our lives is we have to see it. We have to see how it's going to happen. We have to think in terms of, what am I going to say? How am I going to act? What's going to happen? How are other people going to react to me? And this is what we want to do ongoing. Now, when we see it in our mind, we can also memorize the scripture. And here's the key one. Remember Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So if we want to make an affirmation of this, then in the name of Jesus, I who overcome shall inherit all things, and God will be my God, and I shall be his son or his daughter. It's always in the generic, so son means daughter also. Okay, so we can make it personal, and we can memorize it. And when you memorize it, that's good, because then you can say it while you're in the shower, you can say it when you're driving, you don't have to be, you know, holding up a memory card and be diverted in your attention and have to do just that. Now, there are times when you want to focus just on that, when we do affirmations, but the idea here is to make this a lifestyle, to make every part of your life pull in the Word of God, to keep us focused, to be able to go forth in victory, to be conquerors, to become those overcomers. Okay, now scriptures here for this would be from Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We always want to find other scriptures to support it, and we'll be coming to more of those with the overcoming. Matthew 18:16 tells us, but if he will not hear thee, take thee with thee one or more, that in the mouth of, and this is the key phrase from the scripture, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If God wants to make his point, he will tell us in more than one place. And he makes it very clear he wants us to be overcomers. So we want to see it in our hearts. We see it with our eyes in the Word. We see it in our minds. We see it in our hearts. This is the visualizing, the dreaming about it. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And I encourage us to do more than think. We want to study. We want to speak. Right? Okay, so as best we can, we want to live this out. We want it to become a lifestyle of overcoming. In James 2:14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and have not works? Can faith save him? So we want to be hearers and doers of the word, because, you know, I have known people who've been in churches, really good churches, that taught the word of God, and they taught it, and these people would come, and they'd hear it, and they'd hear it, and they'd hear it, and they'd hear it. And I'd look back months and years later and find out they never changed. Nothing about their lives was any different. They never became overcomers. They believed. They loved what they heard. They were faithful coming to church to hear it. But they didn't do anything more than that with it. And let me tell you, that is not enough. We must take it in. It does demand change. When a child grows, you know, they have this mark on the wall where they have, okay, he's this height, and then he's this height, and then he's that height. What's happening? As he's growing, he's changing. And in order for us to grow, we must change. If we're not changing, we're not growing, and we're not achieving the goals that we're seeking after. Okay. We move on to seeing it in your words. This comes out all the more of what I've been saying. I've kind of gotten ahead of myself in a way, but we can emphasize, say it with your words. Make sure, do it in conversation even, when you're talking to people. You know, it's like, praise the Lord, Mr. Overcomer. Ms. Overcomer, Mrs. Overcomer, how are you today? This is the greeting and the meeting of the overcomers of God Almighty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah! Okay? We affirm it. We share it. We believe it. We speak it to each other. We speak it of each other. We're speaking all positive, wonderful things that will bring forth that which we all desire. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We want to speak God's words. Those are already blessed. We don't have to think about what we're going to say and say, God, can you bless that? No, let's say what he's already blessed, which is his word, and calling forth those things that be not as though they are. And we look for the manifestation in full. We affirm the scriptures. We can start small and increase more as the desire grows, as the opportunity allows. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Oops, did we hear day and night, night and day, constantly? Is there a consistency to God's word and what he's telling us to do? That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So we want to affirm constantly. Okay, B, saturation. To saturate in Webster is to cause to be thoroughly soaked or penetrated. To cause something to be so completely filled, charged, or treated with something else that no more can be taken up. Saturation is basically overflowing, filled to overflowing. So we want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I think by reasonable, he means at the very least. We should consider this. Jesus gave his whole life for us. He gave up everything. He shed every drop of blood. Each one of us can say for me. Because I totally believed that if any one of us had been the only person ever in all of history to say yes to Jesus, he still would have gone through all that he did to pay that price to bring me into the kingdom of God to spend eternity with him. Isn't that an amazing thought? But we each need to bring that down to that personal level and understand just all that he did for us and be willing to give him back that reasonable sacrifice. And in 1 Samuel 15:22, it tells us, delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, hath the Lord? Obeying the voice of the Lord. No, that's better. To obey is better than sacrifice. We can blow it and sacrifice, say, I'm sorry, God, and then we try to make up for it. But it's never the same as when we obey from the beginning. Because when we don't obey, there are usually consequences and situations which arise which we don't want. And God doesn't want them for us either. So by obedience to his word, it's what he wants for us. And he knows that it will already come with blessings. Okay, we discipline our bodies then. In John 1:33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. Here's the key. We want the Spirit to descend upon us and to remain, and that can happen only if we do not sin. Because as soon as we sin, the Spirit, like the dove, is gone. So that's a good incentive not to sin. Okay, moving on. Renew your mind to the Word of God. This is a powerful scripture in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, the Anointed One and his anointing. So again, that's that choice we make. We stand between God and the devil, between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And which side are we going to choose? By our every thought, word, and action, we are making a choice for one or the other. And whichever one we choose, if we're choosing for God, then all the angels will come and partner with us and watch over and minister to us. But if we start complaining, that muttering that we talked about earlier, the muttering under our breath, the complaining, then we're drawing in the demons and the evil spirits, and we're inviting them. Our words are actually inviting them. We don't want them. We need to realize how this all works together so we can make our proper decisions in obedience to the Word of God. So we study the Word of God daily and apply it to ourselves in every situation. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Oh, there it is again. Day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Right. Awesome. Well, that sounds to me like overcoming if you're prospering, right? Okay, wonderful. And when we study, and here's another scripture which I don't have on the outline, you might want to add 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, remember I said this is a worker, that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we have the Spirit of God who wrote the word on the inside of us, and he's able to lead us. Now, when we do our studies, we find it's a really good thing to be able to look at different translations because it gives you different perspectives. And we find tools like eSword and Bible Gateway very handy to help with that also. What we would recommend against is using commentaries written by other men, because we don't know the men generally. We don't know if they sought the Holy Spirit. We don't know if the word they're sharing is really God's heart on the matter. But the Lord says he can show us directly ourselves. We don't need them. We don't need to depend on them. We just need to depend on the Holy Spirit and have him show us. When we're hungry, he will teach us. He will lead us in the way that we shall go, which is the way of righteousness. Okay, we want to be loving, forgiving people. Always walking in love, for love never fails. And forgiving, you remember Pastor Josh was teaching about forgiving on the three major prayers. They're like 35 verses. And 20 of the 30 verses are about forgiveness. The prayers themselves take up 10 verses, and 20 verses are about forgiveness. If you don't forgive, my Father cannot forgive you. Let's not take that lightly. Unforgiveness is not worth it. Hoarding a thought of somebody and what they did to you, that's their responsibility, and it's between them and God, not our responsibility. God says he will take vengeance. He will take care of the matter. He'll take care of the situation. We're not to be concerned with that. We're just to love and forgive. Love and forgive. But you don't know what they did to me. Doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It sounds like it should. But let's go back to remembering we're aliens, we're passing through. We're not going to be like the rest of mankind that walk in the darkness. We want to walk in the light. And we can picture that our God, our Jesus, was always loving and always forgiving. We can always go back to WWJD. What would Jesus do, right? That's an easy guideline. And we know 1 John 1:9 about confessing our sins on a regular basis. And Mark 11:25-26, these are two of those verses on forgiveness. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you forgive not, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Trespasses. Ouch. Something to remember and keep it close to your heart. We want to be conformed to his image. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We know that Jesus said that he spoke only what he heard his Father speak, and that he did only what he saw his Father do. What a wonderful example for us. Jesus was victorious. He was an overcomer. In fact, the reason why he was able to be our sacrifice, the sacrifice on behalf of all of us, was because he resisted every temptation. And the Word of God says, every temptation that's known to man was thrown at him, just as it is to us. But he resisted all. He walked in love. He forgave. He spoke the word of God. And he remained perfect, pure, and holy. And so he qualified to be that one to stand in our stead, to pay that price for our sin, because he did not deserve the sin that he took on himself. He did not deserve all the sickness and disease and infirmity and pain that he took on himself, so we wouldn't have to experience it. But he qualified. And he's saying, with him, the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, it is possible for us also. The world wants us to think, oh, we're only human. No, you know, we all sin just the way it is. Don't even think otherwise. That's what they think. But we do. We think otherwise, don't we? Because we know that God would not call us to be holy as he's holy if it were not possible. That he wouldn't call us to be perfect as he's perfect if it were not possible. It's possible. He wants it for us. And that's part of how we overcome. Perfection is one of those goals. And we can learn from our Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is our role model in all things. So John 5:19 tells us, then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, that also the Son does likewise. And if the Son Jesus, how about the Son Joshua, the daughter Sarah, and each one of us can go around and put our names in there and say, yes, Lord, me too. We'll have our own hashtag me too, right? It's the godly me too. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ, the anointed one, in his anointing may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, agape love, the love that loves no matter what. For God loved us before we loved him. He loved us when we were still in sin. That's that perfect love. Now we come to maturation, part C. To be mature is to be full grown, fully developed, fully or highly developed, perfected, worked out, of a state of full development. This is the end result. Now we're searching for the maturation. We need to be persistent in our authority. Mark 11:23 says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." It doesn't say head, it says heart. "But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Did you count how many times the word saith was in that verse? Three times. An emphasis. Say, say, say. What you say is what you shall receive. And we have biblical examples that we'll know the history of them to know why these men of God were overcomers. We have Enoch, who was taken up because he pleased God so much. We have Elijah, who was carried away in a chariot of fire. Mm. Woo! God's in his best vehicle for Elijah. Abraham, the father of faith and the father of many nations. Moses, who was such a great leader. You think about leading multiple millions of people. I'll tell you, each one probably had a different opinion, and yet he had to lead all of them and keep everything in unity and harmony. Peter, who was the rock. John, who was the apostle of love. Paul, who was a strong Christian. And look at the example of what he did with the viper. You know, he was just going forth, doing his thing in God, and this viper attached itself, and everybody was so sure he was going to die. This was a poisonous viper. This viper was biting him, putting his poison into Paul's body. And Paul just shook him off, and nothing ever happened to him. I love what my husband says about this. He says, headline in the paper the next day is, "Viper Bites Paul. Viper dead, Paul lives." Right? We live in God. We live in Jesus. We're overcomers. Amen. We need not be concerned. What is the scripture that talks about? We don't need to be afraid of things that are poisonous or things that are coming against us. We don't need to be concerned about any of that. Fear has no place in us when we're in God and we're strong and we know our authority and we know our dominion. That's why we had a school of dominion, a year and a half school of dominion here at ABC to teach us how to become overcomers. Maybe we need to review a little bit of that, to go back over that, to study it. So we live by speaking the name of Jesus with authority and dominion in every challenge. James 1, 2, and 4. Oh, this is something we need to keep in mind, too. And I guess my husband considers me a good one to put this one forth. Greet every challenge with joy, for overcoming it moves you to a higher level. James 1, verses 2 through 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting absolutely nothing." Woo! That's pretty good, huh? Not too shabby? We want that, don't we? Okay, we need to be led by the Spirit of God, basing every decision on the Word of God or the voice of the Holy Spirit within us. Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." There we go, mature sons of God again. And when I see this, I'm remembered of Pastora Karen. And this is typical of her lifestyle in seeking the Holy Spirit. Going shopping. Grocery shopping. And she's passing by this display of mangoes. And I got to tell you, we all love mangoes, right? And she looked at them and they were beautiful. And the price was right. And she's going over and she's kind of looking through them and she's like, okay, first of all, I need to ask the Lord, should I buy the mangoes? And what did the Lord tell her? Everybody remember this?
No.
The Lord told her, But Lord, I love mangoes and these are my favorites. No. Pretty please? No. Okay. And she walked away and went on, finished her shopping. On the news, I believe that night, there was a report. Food recall. This particular type of mango. Oh, okay. Now see, she's looking at it and you can't see it on the outside. It looked beautiful. It looked perfect. She didn't know that it was contaminated. Good word. She didn't know that it was contaminated. She couldn't see it. But the Holy Spirit knew because he knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning.
Yes, yes.
And the Holy Spirit told her no. So we need to get tuned into hearing the Holy Spirit and knowing, is this what we want to hear? Okay, we know his voice, John 10:10. We know the voice of the good shepherd and the voice of the stranger we will not follow. This is critical for us in these last days, knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit, asking him frequently throughout every day. This is a lifestyle. And in the process, hearing his voice and then acting on it, being obedient. As much as Pastora Karen desired those mangoes, she knew what the Holy Spirit said, no, then there was a reason, which sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we never find out. But sometimes we do. And in this case, she was blessed to know exactly why. But even if we don't know, we need to trust the Holy Spirit. Why did he divert us this direction instead of that? Was a uneventful ride back home. Maybe we missed an accident along the way. We may not know. Doesn't matter. We trust the Holy Spirit. Remember the blinders? Okay, so we focus on him and what he says that we do and we're obedient to. Okay, John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, not some of it, but all of it. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Wow, that's pretty awesome. And we want to live in dominion. Remember, this is a lifestyle. We're developing lifestyle habits. We're developing what Pastor Joshua has taught us over the years to develop that lifestyle that when the son of perdition, when the Antichrist makes himself known to the world, that we'll just be able to continue the same lifestyle as we've been living. There's no change because we're already living victoriously. We're already becoming overcomers step by step. So we live in dominion. In Ephesians 1:21, far above all principality, remember, above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, whatever name you can think of, it doesn't matter. Not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. We have dominion over all that. And Ephesians 2:6 says, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our feet may physically be here on the earth, but we are seated in heavenly places spiritually. Our spirit man is right up there with Jesus, strong. And what happens when you're up there in a heavenly place? You're looking down. And you get a good perspective that way, good idea of what's going on. It's a great place to be. And when Jesus returns, 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." How awesome to be able to be like that. We talk about the armor of God, and if we have the armor of God on properly, then Satan doesn't know, is that Pastora Sarah or is that Jesus? You know, I can't tell. The words coming out of her mouth are the word of God. She's acting loving and forgiving. She's walking in authority and dominion. Darn over me. No, I don't. No, I'm under her feet. No. See, that's what we want the devil to fear us. We should not be running from the devil. We need the devil running from us. The devil and all of his demons, devils and evil spirits, every one of them should run in terror when they see us coming. We had that happen to an ABC-er once. She was in this particular place, and there was somebody, oh no, somebody else was in this place, and she was coming down the hall. And this one goes, "Oh my gosh, she's coming. She's coming. Oh, we got to get out of here. She's coming." And around the corner walked this ABC-er who was strong in the spirit. And the demons knew, and they respected that, and they left. And that's what we want to have happen with us. Smith Wigglesworth walked around. People would fall at his feet and say, "I don't know what you got in you, but whatever it is, I want it." That's what we want to have happen with us. We want our lives to make such an impact that the power of God goes forth. Even when we don't open our mouths, when we're just walking. We can be walking up and down the aisles of the grocery store. And people may come to us and say, "What is it you have? There's something special about you." We can say, "Yes, that's Jesus Christ. And he loves you too." What great opportunities we will have day by day when we walk in his ways. Okay, now here's the big one. To be alive and remain. Right? Yes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 and 17. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Alive and remain until Jesus returns through the roughest of the rough days in these ending days. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to remember that. And Satan should have no part with us because we are his temple. Romans 6:11 says, "Likewise reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." John 11:26, "Whosoever liveth," do I see the hands of everybody who liveth in this place? And I'm seeing the hands of those of you on the internet, the live streamers, that your hands are going up because you liveth, right? "Whoever liveth and believeth," two parts here, live and believe, "in Jesus." Okay, hands for those that believe in Jesus. Woo! Yes, we live, we believe in Jesus, right? And so what's the promise here? Shall never die. Whoa. But then what does Jesus ask? Believest thou this? The heavy saying, do you believe it? If you say you believe it, do you really believe it? Because the believing means we have to put words to the believing. We have to put action to the words. We need to show it forth and say, yes, Lord, I believe. Now, if you need any further motivation to be willing to do the work and apply the patience and persistence that need to be in place to achieve this goal, let's put before our eyes these awesome promises of God for the ending days church, rewards for the overcomers. And here we go to the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3. These are the promises to the churches in the ending days. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Number 2, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Number 3, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And we'll quote also with that James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Number 4, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Number 5, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. See, we want to be like him. He overcame already, and he's saying we can do the same thing. And am set down with my Father in his throne. Number 6, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receive it. And number 7, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall no more go out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Okay, we saw a show of hands of those that were alive and those that believe in Jesus. Shall I see a show of hands of the overcomers? Right. Woo! Yeah. Two hands going up with every person. And I know that's true of you too. Hallelujah. It belongs to us. Let's go for it.
Right.
As Nike says, just do it. Amen. In Jesus' name we do it. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Glory, glory.